Hello, Cincinnati, and welcome to Subzorro Podcast. Today we have Reds outfielder Austin Hayes on. We get to know Austin behind the scenes outside of the sport of baseball, even though we do talk some baseball. We talk about a certain kind of Pop-Tart he loved as a kid, donut days with family, and more. So what do you say we get this thing started? So where are you at? Are you on the Ohio side of the river?
Or Kentucky side?
Yeah. Mount Lookout, that's in...
It's Ohio, yeah. Is it convenient for you?
Yeah, it's pretty close to the field, and honestly, it's really quiet, peaceful out here, so this area that we're in. This has been our best living situation for sure that we've had. This is the first year we've actually been able to get a house. We've always stayed in either apartments or... like timeshare, stuff like that. So to have like an actual home that we're staying in this year, have a yard for the kids to play in, actually have a feel like stuff to do at the house, you know, instead of just being stuck in the apartment.
Yeah, yep. Like a caged rat.
Yeah.
I don't know how people do that. It's not for me.
Well, it's hard. I mean,
it is not for me.
You're stuck in the apartment in the morning, so it's like, all right, the kids are ready to go. They want to play. You got to go drive somewhere to a park or like schedule something to do, you know?
Whereas, yeah, like, we're now home, you can kick Florida, them out the back door.
And when we're home in Florida, we live on 5 acres, so it's like, all right, you guys want to play? Open the door and you're gone. Come back in when you're tired. But in season,
can you call
it's
Florida
different.
Home?
Yeah, Florida's where we live in the off season.
All right. Now, you grew up in Port Orange, is that correct?
No, I went to high school in Port Orange. My wife, her and her family are from South Daytona, Port Orange area.
Yep.
But I'm more from Central Florida, from DeLeon Springs. It's pretty close to Stetson University in DeLand. So.
Okay, did you guys meet in high school then?
Yeah, we did. We started dating... junior year of high school.
Oh, so, man.
Been together for a long time.
That's an ALG moment right there he's sharing.
Yeah.
So what part of Florida do you call home now?
It's right on the border of DeLand and Orange City. So we just say it's DeLand. My mom lives... like 20 minutes from there, and then Sam, my wife, her family's all still in Daytona, so it's like 25, 30 minutes over to their place. So we're comfortably right in the middle of everybody.
Well, and you're closer than most people that are talking about being right in the middle of their families. Usually it's
no
like
doubt.
States away.
Yeah, no doubt. Which we're gone so much out of the year. You know, it's like, man, when baseball's off, we need to be around our family. You know, we want to see our family. We want the boys to be around their grandparents. So, plus, we just love our area that we're from. You know, you can do anything you want outdoors there. It's warm in the off season. The beach is 30 minutes away. So, there's just so much stuff to do.
Yep. Yeah, my kids are obsessed with the beach right now because we live in, it's Vieira, but it's really, I mean, that's a section of Melbourne right by Patrick Space Force Base. So every weekend, can we go to the beach?
Yeah, me and my dad, we used to always go fishing in the Intercoastal in Titusville. That's not far from there.
Yeah, some good fishing there. Well, it used to be better.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been out that way. But we used to go catch a ton of trout out there.
Yeah, the trout's still good. It used to be really good for redfish, like on Mosquito Lagoon and stuff. Man, it's just...
yeah.
It's kind of going downhill.
It's probably just too many people now.
That's anything in general. I don't even think that's just hunting and fishing. That's everything. There's too many people in general.
Yeah. It's crazy. Where we were at in Florida, that Port Orange area, just in the 3 years we were living there, I mean, it exploded. You know, you're trying to go 3 minutes to the grocery store, and it takes you 15 minutes because of the stop signs and red lights are so backed up. And the school is just so, there's not enough teachers, there's not enough anything. There's just, there's too many people in that area for the infrastructure of it. So it made sense for us too at the time. Like, all right, we got to get farther away from the beach. Everybody's coming from all these other places because they want to be by the beach. So we moved back out kind of where I'm from.
That's, if I had my pick, that's what I would do, but I'm kind of late for that. My kids are in a school that they really love. It's an IB school. Are you familiar with that, being from Florida?
Yeah, that's what, my high school was an IB school. So there was
So
a lot of people that came there for that.
As a prospective parent from of someone that could be at an IB school for high school, what's your thoughts on it?
I mean, I wasn't in IB. There was a ton of kids that they went to really prestigious colleges because they had such a high GPA being in IB. But man, they were stressed out all the time because of the way that it worked. If your testing scores weren't up to par, you could get kicked out of the IB program. And it wasn't as, I mean, it was a high GPA that you had to keep. The guidelines for what was acceptable to remain in the program were pretty strict. So I just remember some of my friends that I played with and like some of the girls that I knew, they were just always like, oh man, if I don't pass this test, and it's like, you're doing that for 4 years, you know?
Oh,
but it seems like it worked out good for them. I mean, most of them went to pretty solid colleges. So, I mean, I guess that's the idea behind it, you know?
Yep. So, I don't know. We'll see.
It's weird, stressful to me.
Yeah, that's not my style. I was the guy that always did everything last minute, homework-wise and everything in school, so.
Let's be honest. You were the guy that bullshit your way through everything.
Yeah, I did that too, but,
and then
you know,
if you didn't get the grade you liked, you argued about that until you got the grade you liked.
I mean, you know, if you want something, go get it. That's part of life, right?
I was the guy that relied on attendance to get your scores up. I was like, I'll do all my homework. I'll sit front row, and I'll try to get some extra participation points, because the tests and the essays, those aren't going to be high. But if you can give me some good grades for attendance, that would be appreciated.
Hey, bud.
You want to sit out here and just listen?
Yeah.
Now, is that the one that was trying to get you to come fix the tractor wheel?
Yep, that would be him. That was the one that was running right next to the tractor. Just spreading. I'm waiting
for
him to
fall under. I was like, hold on, bud.
Yeah, man. He thinks he's the boss. He's always giving demands instead of asking, you know?
Yeah,
did he get that from his mother or his father?
Yeah, I think that one's me. I think that one's me.
They have to have him back out sometime to play on the tractors.
Yeah, we had a great time. That was fun. Definitely would go back.
I don't know. Is there any correlation? I mean, that was a crawfish boil. It seemed, though, your stats for this season are pretty good. They were extremely good for the 5 days after that crawfish boil.
Yeah, it was pretty good. A lot of home runs in the crawfish.
You were playing pinball with it, ball man.
We were at that game the next night, Byron and I. I remember you telling your son, because you knew you were coming back from the IL at that point and playing the next day, and you're telling your son, Daddy's back, and as soon as you get that first at bat, you smash that home run, Byron and I were yelling, Daddy's back!
That's right.
So have you tried any of the foods unique to Cincinnati yet?
I don't know. We keep saying we got to go do the Skyline Chili. We haven't done Skyline Chili yet, but I'm just not a big chili person. Outside of that, what's the other thing that's specific to Cincinnati? It's called mush or something like that.
Well, you got Getta.
What is that?
Getta, Goetta.
Yeah. I haven't tried that yet.
And then Grater's ice cream is delightful.
Graters. Yeah, I keep hearing that one. We haven't gotten Graters yet.
That's the easy one. You gotta love ice cream, dude.
Yeah, that's the one we gotta go do after a day game. You know, it's hot, you've been at the day game all day, you go hit Graters on the way home.
Yeah, get some recovery calories in there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you gotta have feel good food, you know? You can't just be straight edge like 24/7. Sometimes you need some comfort food.
Well, you should talk to your boy Lion about that then. Because apparently his comfort food is straight edge.
He won't even have sugar for breakfast. I'm like, you don't even do Pop-Tarts? He's like, no.
Pop-Tarts. I haven't had a Pop-Tart in a long time.
Well, if you were to have one, what's your flavor?
Yeah.
Ooh. So my go-to thing that I used to have was a chocolate chip Pop-Tart that I would put in the toaster and get it hot. And then when I'd take it out, I'd put butter on it.
Butter?
Wow. Melt the butter on it, and then I'd have a glass of whole milk.
Oh, man.
Man, and you've remained that skinny?
I had to have that so I could have some extra calories. I couldn't eat enough. The more I ate, the skinnier I got. But I had one of my best friends who lived down the road from me. You know, it's like Friday night, he stays at my house. Saturday night, we go stay at his house. And his mom would always give me a hard time because she's like, I know when Austin's been here, because I would just wreck their Pop-Tarts. Just run through a whole box while I was over there. So every year for Christmas, like, that's what she'd get me. Or then when we got older and, you know, we are gone playing baseball or whatever, I'd come back into town and it was my birthday, she'd always give me a box of Pop-Tarts.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
So, all right, where do you want to go next with this one, Dad? Do you want to keep going down the food route or do you want to talk baseball?
We can go down the food route. We can do the list of questions.
All right, so we did favorite Pop-Tart. So are you a sauce or a dry rub guy?
I'd say dry rub for sure. But I don't mind putting the sauce on first and then throwing whatever you're cooking back on. Like you're going ribs or you're going wings. Sauce them first, then throw them on. So it almost cooks the sauce into the skin a little bit. I think there's this place in like Daytona where we're at. They always called it Wally style. So I'd say that would be.
I went there.
It'd be called Wally style.
Yeah. So a month or two ago, I have a buddy that's in the military. He was shipping out to Europe, so we met him there because that's where his family's from, is Daytona. We went to the aquarium, and then we went to the restaurant afterwards, and it's the place you're talking about. Their wings were Wally style. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes, Hooligans. That's it, dude.
Yeah, it's good.
Yep. It was good.
Yeah, they had is it called Cajun? It was a Cajun flavor, and it was – I thought it was dry rub for the longest time, but then I realized they just put the sauce on first, and then they put them back on the grill after that. So
yeah.
What's your favorite cut of steak?
Favorite kind of what?
Favorite cut of steak.
Favorite cut of steak.
Rib, New York.
I'd probably go with the ribeye. When I go out to a restaurant or we go to a nice steakhouse, that's usually what I tend to order.
Boned in or no?
Bone in, yeah. It always tastes better with the bone.
Amen. How do you like your tea, sweet or unsweet?
Sweet. It's got to be sweet.
He's from Florida, bro.
I don't even know what to verify.
Yeah.
It's got to be sweet. And it tastes even better if it's got a lemon in it and it's really sweet.
Oh, wow.
You like that, like McDonald's tastes like maple syrup sweet or just normal sweet tea?
Man, I grew up on McDonald's sweet tea, so I do like McDonald's super sweet tea. I'm not gonna lie.
That stuff is potent.
Oh yes.
Well, you know, if you ever go to Skyline Chili, they do have sweet tea.
They have some good sweet tea. I have to try it out. If you were gonna go to Skyline Chili, what would you get?
Well, that's easy order. We'll both have different orders.
He's different than me.
Yep.
Go ahead.
All right, so I get two cheese conies, mustard and onion. And a Cholito with onion.
Okay.
I don't do the Cholito. I'm either getting a four-way with onion, no bean, or cheese coney with onions.
Okay.
Now, my wife, she gets it without the hot dogs, so it's called a chili dog. So it's just like chili, cheese, and onion on the bun.
But on the bun with no dog.
That's not a chili dog. They call it a chili cheese sandwich.
Well, yeah. Chili cheese sandwich. I stand corrected. You know.
I could get behind a chili cheese dog.
That's what got Graham.
I don't mind a good chili cheese dog.
That's what got Graham. We took him. He tried it, and he swore against it forever. And then we took him in there, and he took a bite. He goes, "Dang, that's good. Hold on."
Well, we got another.
Shut the door.
They're coming from both directions.
Yeah, except I got the lawn guys out front. But Graham tried the cheese Cody, and as soon as he took a bite, he goes, "That's good. I can get behind this. I'm gonna order two more."
Yes. Yeah. I could definitely see that. There's a place in the big leagues. I'm trying to think where that's at. I think it's in Toronto, actually. They have the old school, like, hot dog roaster. That's just the rotisserie style, you know.
Yeah.
And then you got the just standard, like, you put the bag of cheese inside the machine that has the button dispenser for the nacho cheese.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And then they always got a crock pot going of whatever chili they make. So every time we go there, I always just inevitably end up getting some chili cheese dogs. And I've hit pretty good there in the past. I always feel like I leave there with a homer or two. So there's got to be something behind the chili cheese dogs.
Well, you might want to hit Skyline up sometime soon, then.
I know. I might have to whenever I'm coming off the IL. Go the day before, crawfish one time, and then I'll try the chili cheese dog this next time.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but you better be ready for the cheese. It's not liquid cheese. It's a mountain of shredded cheese.
Oh, it's like a block.
Well, it's very finely shredded, so it's kind of light and airy.
Okay.
Hey, you guys want to say hi? See? Talking to the mic, Avery. Say hi.
Oh.
Hi.
Hi, Avery.
Hi.
It is tough when you're trying to look this way and focus, but you know what's going on over here. You know, and your attention span can only do that for so long.
Yeah, it's all good, man.
Yep.
Now
if you see kids show up here, you both need to panic. Something's wrong.
We went to the Ark yesterday. That was really cool. He's not a girl.
Walk in front of the
Well, you just took one of my questions away from me.
What was it?
Yeah.
Well, I had, obviously at 5 a.m. this morning, I had nothing better to do. So it was a good time to do some research. And if I am to believe Wikipedia, if it's factually correct, in 2020, it states that you and your wife became Christians. So I was just going to ask if Christianity, and that thread, had you been to the Ark Encounter? Because that's a big thing for them. And I think even from the end of September, from the end of July through early September, they have a Christian or multiple Christian groups play every day at the Ark Park.
Yeah, we got saved in 2021 after the season was over. We ended up getting baptized right before we left for spring training in 2022. So, yeah, that's been a huge part of our lives and a huge part of, like, our purpose and our mission going to the field every day is just try to be a light for others in the clubhouse and my wife to be a light for the wives and everybody that she comes across within the game. So just trying to, you know, serve as many people as we can and as many ways as we can with the opportunity God's given us to be at the field. But yeah, the Ark was awesome yesterday. It was pretty cool driving up there. I mean, I knew it was big, but I'm like, dang, this is bigger than I feel like some of the stadiums when you're pulling up to them. So the kids were pumped. Of course, they saw the park on the way in, and they're like, now they just want to run around on the playground. They don't want to go to the Ark. But we convinced them to go in there, and Tim gave us a tour of everything, and it was really awesome to have his kind of insight and just talk about how he wrote everything and got everything designed inside there and laid it all out, and what the purpose was behind it and why they built it. And that was a cool experience.
I don't know whether I want to say this or not, but you know where our farm's at. I've driven by that thing hundreds of times. I've never been in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know why. It's like living by the beach. You take it for granted, right? You're just like, oh, hey, it's there. Cool. What's up?
Yeah, we're going by it again. Hey, I will say this, though, based off the food thing, we're halfway through. The kids are like kind of starting to melt down, and we're like, all right, they need snacks. You know, we power them through with some snacks. Because we were only like on the second floor, and they had like a little bakery shop or whatever halfway through. And we got a couple of the chocolate chip cookies in there, and it was unbelievable.
Really?
It was so good. So next time you're driving by there, maybe just pop in and get a couple of those chocolate chip cookies, because I think it's worth it.
Well, speaking of chocolate chip cookies, if you go again and you can stop for breakfast or lunch, and I think it's, was it Thursday through Saturday, Friday through Sunday? I don't know what it is, but there's a place right there just on the other side of the highway. It's connected to a pizza joint, but it's called, I think it's called Jane's.
Jane's.
And all it is it's a donut shop. And dude, let me tell you something, the donuts and like desserts in there are epic.
I love a good donut. I love a good donut.
I mean, they're like massive.
So the our thing kind of, it's becoming a thing. It's not fully there yet, but as a family, off days, it's like we sleep in, and then we like to order donuts from wherever our favorite place is, favorite donut place in the area. So when we wake up, the kids will come down, and we're like, all right, breakfast, and we all just get to eat donuts.
Nice.
So that's a little far away to try to order some donuts from there, but
yeah.
There was a place called Peaches when we were in Sarasota, and it was a donut food truck, and they would only go to certain locations, and they post it the day before. So we'd have to, like, you know, go on Facebook the night before, figure out where they were going to be. And we're like, all right, we got the day off tomorrow. We're driving to get some Peaches donuts.
Dude, food truck food is really good. I bet donuts from a food truck are epic.
Yeah, they're, I mean, I've had some good donuts. That was definitely the best donut, that place, Peaches.
If you had a superpower off the field, what would it be?
Ooh, superpower off the field. I think it'd be pretty cool to have just superhuman strength, as much strength as you wanted.
Well, is there something you have, like an uncanny ability to know where things are at, like right now, that you could consider like a superpower?
Everybody's got a superpower.
Oh, you're saying like what is something that I do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is my superpower off the field? I feel like a lot of times I kind of know what people are thinking or about to say before they say it.
Yeah, that's funny. My daughter came in the office this morning and said, I'm going to read your mind. And we went through this little thing. It's a game.
Yeah, you know, you're having a conversation with somebody, or you're about to have a conversation with somebody, and you just feel how it's going to go or what it's going to be about. It's like you're already preparing for it in your own mind because you know what's going to be said. I feel like that.
Yeah.
That would be it.
Well, gee whiz, if that would have been your superpower as a child, it might have saved you a lot of problems there, Clayton.
How so?
You would have known what was coming.
Learn the power of silence.
Well, that was with his mother.
Yeah, well, everybody gets into it. All right, so we're talking about superpower. What's your kryptonite? Donuts?
kryptonite, sugar, right? It's got to be something to do with my kids. Like, they can melt you, but they can also make you more mad than anybody else. They just...
They know how to push your buttons, bro.
They would be my kryptonite.
I get that.
Yep.
I get that. Well, we've been talking about you as you talk about, you know, this is your first year with the Reds. You know, in sports, you hear a lot of times the term dog used. Who would be a dog, excluding yourself, on your current Reds team? Who would you consider a dog?
Ooh, I would consider Emilio Pagan. He's a dog. He's in that closer role. You got to have that mindset coming in.
Yeah.
I'd say TJ Friedel. He's got some dog in him. So you just pick one pitcher and one position player.
Friedel doesn't give up, man.
No, and he plays hard. He plays the game hard every day.
Yeah. So how tall was that wall that he got that ball over?
Yeah.
Because he how ain't
tall,
that tall.
How tall is it?
Yeah. I want to know how high he jumped.
Probably 7.5 feet, maybe. What's your question? He timed it up perfect, though.
He did. That was a heck of a way to end a game,
too. Some people were like, I don't think it was gone. Yes, it was. His glove was completely over the wall.
Yeah, it was gone. What? It was going to go.
Off the bat, I thought it was gone for sure. I'm like, oh, no, man. No.
It's hard to tell on TV, but I knew it was hit well.
Yeah, from the dugout, straight away center field, it looked like it came off hot, had the perfect ball flight. I'm like, oh, no. And then he looked like he's just starting to slow down, and he's timing it up. I'm like, oh, wait, he might catch this.
Yeah, well, how do you felt like that? How do you think Pagan felt?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Pagan was probably ready to kiss him.
Yeah, definitely. He owes him a steak dinner.
Yeah, I love you, man.
That's good. Buy me a dinner.
Yeah.
So who's the team comedian? Who keeps things light?
I say Martinez. Everybody calls him Smiles for a reason. He's always got something to say. He's always chirping in the dugout. He's always chirping on the bus. So in a good way. But I give him the title of that. Suter would be the impersonation guy, you know? Like you need somebody with a spot on impersonation of somebody. I mean, it's unbelievable. He can get into character like that too.
What's his best one?
Jim Carrey. He loves Jim Carrey. He can quote any Jim Carrey movie. And his face, the way he can like get into his scenes, looks exactly like Jim Carrey.
So but, you're saying he has a career after baseball?
Honestly, if he really wanted to pursue an acting career, I think he could do it. But his Tito impression is unbelievable. Like, Tito makes him do the Tito impression because he thinks it's funny.
I think it was been on the news online once or twice. I've seen it.
Yeah, when he – the other day I was walking out to the dugout and, you know, Sudi was – coming up the steps, and Tito was like, "What do you got for us today, Sudi?" And then he did his whole thing in Tito's like character.
That's
to
good.
Tito, it was awesome. Like, I'm glad I just saw that.
I saw a kid from Bama do Nick Saban one time, and I mean, it was spot on.
I think I've seen that one.
In his voice, and he it was great.
I think I've seen that one. It's pretty good.
I don't know that I have, to be honest with you.
You need to get out more.
What do you, get out more? Dude, there's so much of that stuff on social media. My
have you guys
gosh.
Seen the John Gruden one? The, what is that guy's name? Frank, Costello or Costella, maybe.
Caliendo or something Caliendo. Like that?
Frank Caliendo, yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, he does.
He comes in and he's like, John Gruden, Dayton. We needed a quarterback with a lot of neck. Boy, we got one, and it pans over to the backup QB, and he has such a long neck.
Yeah. Go between the camera and this, please.
So who's the best dressed on the team?
What?
Best dressed.
Let me finish this, girls. Go back inside.
If you want somebody who's going to be wearing a suit and looking really sharp, I would give that one to Martinez, probably. I mean, he wore a three-piece suit on the flight the other day. He was looking sharp.
How's that comfortable to fly in?
Oh, it's not. I think that's just kind of that old school. Like, now we have jumpsuits that they give out every year. It's like, here, you can all wear, you know, sweatsuits on the flights. But it used to be you had to wear a flight on the – or you had to wear a suit on the flight. So guys that were called up before a certain period, I think that you've just – you still view it that way, or you've always viewed it that way. Like, it's a business trip. I need to be dressed professionally. But I'm like, man, I just played nine innings. I just played nine innings. My legs are fried. I'm going to throw this sweatsuit on, and I'm going to sleep on the plane. But I'd say Ellie has the swagger look to him, where everything matches everything. The beanie matches the shoes, matches the red in his shirt that he's got on. But if you just wanted, like, a nice sharp – rocking a nice suit, probably Martinez. Pagan, he wears some classy stuff when he travels too. He usually wears suits.
Nice. I can tell you, in the business world, we don't wear them anymore. In the office or on the play. Not happening.
Yeah, everybody's on the same page now. Like, why are we torturing ourselves? Why don't we just wear something comfy?
Hey, you're looking at my best dressed right now.
I've already let the family know when it's time to bury me. If you do it in a suit, I'm going to come back to haunt you every day of your life, because I didn't want to wear one on planet Earth when I'm alive. I certainly don't want to wear one into the next world.
Yeah, I wore one long enough. I paid my dues in it. Bury me in something comfy. Bury me in some camo.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So, on the team... who would you say would be the best future coach, or could you see being a future coach?
The next Tito.
Best future coach. Probably Trevino. I think he already kind of has that personality where he's looking at what other guys are doing almost more than himself. Like, how can he help other guys? What's going on in the game that he feels like we need to talk about? Plus, catchers, they're an interesting breed, because they have to sit in the pitchers' meetings every day and go over what we're trying to do from a pitching standpoint, and then they come over to the hitters' meeting, and then they're going over what we're trying to do as an offense as a whole. So they're already – their mind is – taking in twice as much and thinking about twice as much every day as what a pitcher or a position player is. So as a manager, that's how you have to be able to think, you know. You got to be thinking about, all right, well, this inning on offense, so-and-so is coming up. Should I pinch hit? What's going to be going on here? And then when we're hitting and the game's playing out, you got to think about who do I need to start warming up? Who's going to fit right in this pocket? So I'd say Trevino would probably – be the most likely one to fill a role like that.
Okay. Well, what about future CEO?
Probably Suter. I mean, he went to Harvard, and this guy's crazy smart.
He's a Cincinnati boy.
Very likable guy, too. You know?
He would have done it well at your high school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 he would. He would have had a 5.0.
There you go. So if there's one teammate in the proverbial foxhole with you, who would you want that teammate to be? Which teammate?
Who would I want to jump in the foxhole with?
Wait, are you talking about survival side?
Yeah,
or
is
like,
this like
this sucks?
Trust,
get us through this.
Do I trust the if they're an outdoorsman or not? Like they know what they're doing out there, or just sheer will and who's just gonna ride it out the longest with me?
Straight up, you guys are under fire and you need somebody who's got your back so you can save each other's lives.
Ooh,
because you know it's one thing to be able to handle a firearm, but some of those guys are pretty nuts. They'd get themselves killed before you have time to load.
Yeah, I would say I'd say probably Singer, Brady Singer. This guy's as calm as they come. It's like big moment, small moment, doesn't matter. This guy's always calm and collected. Like he'd be the perfect person to have when shit's hitting the fan.
There you go. That's a perfect answer.
Yeah. It's kind of like you've seen Band of Brothers, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Was it Lieutenant Spears?
Yeah, I can't think of any quotes right now.
Are you a movie quote guy?
Yeah, usually. If someone brings up a movie, and I'll fire them off, but I don't have any from that one.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. So, speaking of movies, if they made a movie about your life, who's playing you? What actor is going to play the role of Austin Hayes in the movie?
Ooh. Matthew McConaughey, probably.
Oh, yeah. Of course you'd go with, like, the guy with the most charisma and everything else in the world.
So, my hair is short right now, but I had my hair pretty long for a good period of time, and it's really curly in the back, but it's kind of like how it is up here on the top. It's very similar to how McConaughey's hair is. So I would get that a lot. Like, has anyone ever told you you kind of look like Matthew McConaughey? I'm like, it's just the hair. Like, I don't think my face looks like him at all. But how many times someone has said that to me, like when I had really curly hair? So that's why I would say that.
But can you do his, all right, all right, all right.
All right, all right, all right.
Ooh, man. That answer was almost like a cheat code, though, for that question. You got lucky.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right, well, so let's make
and,
it harder.
And he's awesome. He's got...
Yeah, how can you not love the guy?
Yeah. I didn't read the whole book, but that book, Green Lights, that he wrote, and I thought that was pretty good, too.
Never read that one. I have to read it. Well, I can't say that. I don't really read much.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Well, speaking of that, let's keep going down that road a little bit. Dad, you want to ask him the bar question? I know you like that one.
Yeah. So you're on the road. For whatever reason, you're out by yourself. You're at a bar. Present day people. You can't get like crazy on me here, but somebody that actually is alive on planet Earth today, if you could pick any two people to sit on your left and right to just hang out at the bar and talk to, who would those people be? And I can tell you, for example, for me, Owen Wilson's humor just resonates with me. So he'd be on one side of me. And on the other side would be Charles Barkley, because Charles is the one person in the U.S. that can say anything he wants and it's not held against him. He is unfiltered. And I just love that about him.
Yeah, he doesn't have a filter. Those TNT guys are hilarious together.
Oh my gosh,
they
dude.
Just get away with murder on that show. It's so funny.
They're money.
Man, that's such a hard one. I would say I'd have Ken Griffey Jr. on one side.
Okay.
He's an outfielder. Yeah, I get it.
And I would have... Who would you put on the other side? Adam Sandler on the other side.
So you need a little comedy, keep it light.
I would say Ken Griffey Jr. because he was a great baseball player, but, you know, to play baseball for that time and be a prodigy for as long as he was, and just everything that I've ever heard said about him or projected about him is, it's all positive. He's just a really good guy. I think it'd be cool to sit down with him. Plus, after he retired, he's gotten into a lot of other things. You know, like, he seems to be a very interesting guy. Like, now he's a professional photographer. So he just gets to go to all these different sporting events and sit front row. He gets to go to golf championships. He gets to go to NFL games. And he's got the best seat in the house right there, just getting to take pictures at all these different places. So I feel like he's got some insight on how to hack the system. Like, maybe he just became a photographer so he could go to all the sporting events and just be front row of everything.
Randy Johnson does the same thing, but he does nature photography. Did you know that?
Nature photography.
Yeah, Randy Johnson's big into photography. He's got his own website and everything, dude. Same as
Griffey. He's probably just in the spotlight for so long. He's like, what could I do now that I don't have to be around a bunch of people all the time? You know what? I could just go and take pictures of nature. There's nobody out there.
Yeah.
But, and Adam Sandler's hilarious. I know his humor, you either love it or hate it. There's no in between. And that just dumb, kind of like cringy, awkward humor, I think it's so funny. Plus, he would probably
You got to have a lot of respect for the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he shows up at the Oscars wearing a hoodie and sweatpants. Like, he doesn't care. Like, I don't need to spend my money on fancy cars and fancy clothes and all this other stuff. I'm going to go play pickup basketball in the city at whatever random court. Like, that's so cool. Like, it's, I always say people connect with people, but, like, when you're a celebrity of his star power, the fact that you're still just like, hey, man, I'm just going to be an average Joe like everyone else. I just want to be a normal person. Like, a lot of people connect with that. You're not trying to be hoity-toity and better than everybody else, you know.
Yeah. An elitist.
Yeah, plus, you look at all of his movies all those years, he has his group, like his friends that he started out with in the beginning. They're all in every movie. Like, even now, they're all older, and it's still the same guys that were in Waterboy or they were in Big Daddy, you know? Like, they're in every movie, brings them along with them. And you might not even see some of those guys in any other movies, but they're always going to have a role in an Adam Sandler movie.
So, as we get older, we get wiser. What would Austin Hayes today tell Austin Hayes, the high schooler, if he could tunnel back to that day and time?
That can you pick your feel?
I would definitely tell him... Don't worry so much about what other people think, or don't worry so much about trying to be so perfect in everyone else's eyes. Think finally when you accept who you are and what makes you happy and what you believe is the right way to go about things. Once I finally realized all of that and just felt comfortable in my own skin, man, life is just so much more fun and peaceful and restful at night, and how much more you can just enjoy things. So
now, does that apply on the baseball field as well?
100%. It applies in parent. I mean, how difficult can it be parenting, you know, when you're out in public with your kids and you're like, you want them to act a certain way because you care what other people are thinking, or, and it's like, they don't know what kind of day you're having, or like what you and your family did that morning, or did you miss a nap time? Like, from that aspect, or what, you know, you're at the field, and if you know that you've prepared for everything the correct way and you know who's throwing, and you know you have a plan for how you think they're going to attack you. Just because maybe one of your coaches or your teammates or other people have a plan of how they think that pitcher's going to pitch them or what they're going to do that day, it's okay that you have a different opinion. You know, like, that's your takeaway from the game and what you've learned through the game. It's okay to have a plan for yourself and have conviction in it and speak like you have conviction in it. I believe he's going to do this and I should do this for a reason. You know, that's all right. I think that's what makes the high level athletes that are really good and consistent. They have that, you know, they believe there's a right way to go about things or that their way is right in a healthy mindset. You know, like, you're not always right, but you're confident in what you're looking for and your approach to the game. So that's one thing that I wish I would have had when I was younger. You know, I felt uncomfortable in a lot of situations, and like, I still moved around a lot. Like, from going to high school, I didn't know a single person at my high school because I was coming from an hour away. There's 3,000 students, and I just remember being like so nervous and scared to talk to people because I cared what everybody thought. And it's like, just be yourself, you know? Yeah. It doesn't have to be that hard. You can enjoy it.
Now, when that started clicking for you, do you think that translated on the field? Because if I'm not mistaken, 2022 Heart and Hustle Award, 2023 All-Star. Obviously, last year you had the health issues unrelated to a sports injury, but like, do you think part of that clicking is kind of what was a turning point as far as your performance on the field in the bigs is concerned?
Yeah, definitely. I think it just gave me the ability to be more consistent. So everybody has confidence in themselves when things are going well, you know? People always say that too, like, success builds habits, success builds routines. If things aren't going good for you, do you really want to keep doing the same thing every day? No, but when things are going well, you do. So I think that getting into a healthy mindset and a healthy routine every day, I started to experience some success with it. So yeah, the hardships in baseball come, you know, inevitably. It's just a difficult game. It's going to happen. But instead of hitting the panic button and feeling like I need to change everything and I need to go to this person and see how to fix it, or go over to this person and see what I need to do to fix it, you just look internally and you're like, am I prepared? Am I going about my business the right way? Am I conditioning myself right? Okay, if I'm doing all those things, it's just the game of baseball. I'm going to make the necessary adjustments to ride that wave and start having success at the plate again, instead of, you know, just things that are out of your control and you're letting it change how you're going about your business every day, or letting it change your confidence level in yourself. That was a huge turning point for me, and I feel like it's allowed me to just be more of a consistent player. And when you're not playing well, turning that around faster.
Yep. Yeah, I think that, I mean, people don't realize it's not just professional athletes. That applies to everybody in life and in all aspects of your life.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, there's so many things we learn through baseball that are things that I've learned through baseball. That's what things I use in my marriage or things I use in parenting, just life lessons and skills that I've learned through having to play this game every day, you know?
Yeah, I coached my share of competitive sports, and I used to tell the kids, you know, at the end of the day, you didn't like that call, you didn't like what happened, but in a nutshell, that's life. Not everything's fair. It's how you react to it that's going to define who you are and how successful you'll be.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
All right, so you talked about Suter and his Tito impressions. So let me ask you this. Under Francona, Cleveland went 30-33 in 2013 before winning 92 games on their way to the playoffs. What would need to happen for this Reds team to do the same thing, do you think?
I think a big piece is everybody getting healthy. So we've had some stretches this year where we've played really well, and I feel like when we've done that, it's been when our guys are healthy. So everybody getting healthy, which almost at this point in time, we're almost there. That would be a big piece. Starting pitching, just keep doing what you're doing. They're crushing it. They're doing a great job. And the offense just needs to be more consistent. We've had some really good runs. You know, we'll go a week straight where we're doing everything we need to do. And then, you know, we go cold for a week. So just being more consistent and not allowing the lows to get as low. Just being more consistent, you know.
I think a touch of being healthy would add that touch of consistency that you need.
Definitely. When you have your guys out there playing every day, getting in a rhythm together, offense is contagious. Hitting is contagious. It's a real thing. That's why you've seen this year, you know. Everybody starts hitting a little bit, and we're scoring 15 runs a game. Guys aren't hitting. We're only scoring one run a game. So just trying to tap into not letting how the first five innings went affect the next four innings. Just being really consistent with what we're trying to do throughout the course of the game, and then having our best players out there on the field playing every day always makes a big difference. So everything always starts with health. That's got to be number one.
Yep.
I think you see that with both of the pitching staff as well as the position players. You know, pitching staff had a few people on the IL too.
Yeah, they have. But those guys and the bullpen too, I mean, they just have done a really good job of giving us a chance every game. Even those games we weren't scoring for, you know, a week here, a week there, you look up, we're losing the game 3-1 or 2-0. So even though we're not getting a lot of hits and we're not scoring runs, it's the ninth inning and you're looking up and you're like, man, a walk, a hit, and a homer here and the game's over. That's all we need. And we've had a ton of games like that where the pitching staff just, they're giving us a chance night in and night out. And that's all you can ask for is an offense. So honestly, the pitching staff has done a great job of just giving us a chance to win every night. I just think if we can be healthy and a little bit more consistent offensively, we got a shot. Right. We just got to win these close games, you know. We've had a ton of close games, and we just haven't had a lot of come-from-behind wins. So that's going to be the difference maker by the end of the season. Are you winning the close games or not?
Yeah. Yeah, well, like you said, staying positive. I'm personally the type that as long as you tell me there's a chance, I'm the guy that says, so you're saying there's a chance. That's all I needed to hear.
Yeah, I've always tried to be that way. I've always tried to be Mr. Optimistic. Like, even when things are going bad, try to find the numbers that say that things are going good. Control the story that's going on in your head. Control the voice in your head. Say things out loud so you're not just sitting there, like, having your own voice running through your head. Talk to your teammates. Talk about how you're feeling, how things are going, how you can turn it around. I've always been that way. Just try to be as optimistic at all times as possible.
Glass half full.
Yep.
Always. Yeah, always.
So you've been with the organization now, I mean, what, 2 months worth of games. Is there a player that when you were in Philly or Baltimore in this organization that you had seen before you thought was good, and now that you're a teammate, you're like, man, now that I get to see that person every fifth day or every day, he's really good.
TJ has been that way for me. I knew he was a really good player because he had done it to us in Baltimore. And he always had solid numbers, but just seeing what that looks like every day and just seeing how consistent he is. He never chases. His at-bats are always tough on the pitcher. He draws a lot of walks. He's tough to strike out. He hits the ball to all fields. But he also has enough thump in his bat to make you respect him, too. So that's why I think he's still able to draw some walks, because he's got enough juice to where pitchers are a little bit scared to try to go right at him. And he's doing a great job for us on defense, and he just plays so hard. You know, I think he's 9-for-10 stealing bases, so he's not getting caught, and he's picking very good times to run. He's a smart base runner. I've been really, really impressed with his game. I knew he was a good player, but he's just very complete and well-rounded.
Yeah, he's the guy that made Bunning cool again.
Man, Bunning does so much for you. When you bunt and the first and third baseman have to move in, you don't have to hit it 100 to get it by them now. You know, they're 10, 15 feet farther in. You're opening up a ground ball that's hit 88 down the line. That's a double now. You slap a ball in the six hole because the third baseman is pushed in now. Even if you don't get a hit when you bunt, doing it every now and then just to keep the first and third baseman honest, it opens up holes on the infield.
I like to see him bunt just because I like to see whether the pitcher, if he fields the ball, can actually make the throw.
Hey, it's a coin flip with these guys.
Some of these pitchers, man, you just never know.
It's a coin flip with these guys.
Poor John Lester was the worst.
But I got to tell you, in our house, anytime that Friedel does something significant, I'll turn to my wife. And to coin a phrase, I always say, let Friedel ring.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Might have to get a T-shirt with that on it.
Well, I'm thinking he should do something with that.
He'd trademark it, just like Troy Landry.
He could trademark it and make some money. Shoot him. I want to talk to him.
Yeah, you might need to put that on a shirt.
It's kind of catchy.
Well, think about it. That end of the game catch the other night. Perfect scenario for let Friedel ring. Throw that up on a scoreboard, baby.
That's money.
Who sings that song? Martina McBride? Let Freedom Ring? Who sings that song?
Let's look that up. You guys can talk. I'll get on Spotify and see what it tells me.
Just give her a call and see if she'll make a remix to it. Let Friedel ring.
Well, I bet we could do that on AI.
Oh, yeah, you probably could. You can do anything on there now.
I mean, you saw me. I made Graham a baby, so. Holding his little Debbie.
His voice on that thing is hilarious. That voice.
It sounds like he's got. It was. It was a normal
baby. Is just.
It was his normal voice, but it sounded like he had like food in his mouth or peanut butter.
Well, him waving that Christmas tree, little Debbie or whatever it is, that was pretty.
Yeah, that was
pretty
funny
too.
Yeah, that was funny.
Fat hillbillies never misses an opportunity.
Martina McBride, it is.
It is Martina McBride?
He does Independence Day, and it's in there.
Oh.
Now, the U.S. Air Force also does Let Friedel Ring, and then there's a Let Freedom Ring, and then there's a Let Freedom Rain. There's various versions of said saying and song.